Hey everyone, you know what today is. Today's Monday, which means it could only be one thing. It's time for Get to Know Night, that weekly show where you ask me questions and I give you answers to the best of my ability. As always, we have a ton of questions, so I'm just going to jump right into it. Funnily enough, our first question is from Sandwich. They ask, "Hey Kay, been listening to Get to Know Night and randomly wondered, have you remembered the opening words or do you read it? Have a great day." I remember it. No, I never wrote anything down. It's just, it's like burned into my memory, I think. So yeah, I can't, I think every time I'm like, oh shit, it's Monday. I can only mean one thing. Like, it's almost like, I don't even know. It's like Pavlovian at this point, the response. But yeah, I just remember it. Thank you for your question. The next question is from A. They ask, please answer these two questions. Okay. If magic was real, what spell would you try to learn first? Is, like, all magic real? Like, any magic system I want? Oh, man. That's a dangerous question you asked me. I played too much D&D. My first response is, like, Warlock is just, like, Necromancy. I want to Raise Dead. But, like, Raise Dead is such a cool power. I like Raise Dead a lot. Especially if I can have, like, if the person I raise is sentient and conscious of, like, the life they lived. Like, could I raise Napoleon and, like, talk to him? That sounds awesome. So Raise Dead is, like, the first place my mind goes. I love Raise Dead. It's a really cool spell. I can raise an army. It's useful. Short of Raise Dead, I guess I would look at things like... like warding spells, protections, like charms that will keep people safe. That would be pretty useful to have in an arsenal. I'm not looking at a lot of destruction magic. I feel like it's pretty one trick. Maybe transmutation of some kind, turning things from one to another. Alchemy would be a good school of magic to learn. So probably my initial reaction is to say necromancy. Because I don't know why. I think I'd be a really good necromancer. I'd do great at that. But if not, alchemy, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just because my favorite characters that my players play in D&D are always Warlocks. I love Warlocks. I think they're so interesting. I like patron packs and all that stuff. It's just so, like, I love their lore. So, like, for me, it just goes, oh, I definitely want, like, Raise Dead. I want some necromancy. But yeah, short of that, I guess I would want alchemy. Alchemy, the ability like to change things from one to another, like transmute gold and all that good stuff. Elixir of life, you know, all that good nonsense. So I think I went a lot deeper than you expected me to. But yeah, that happens all the time. Your second question is, describe yourself in 4 words. That's fucking hard. That is fucking hard. Wow, 4 words. That doesn't describe myself though. How would I describe myself in 4 words? Someone called me happy-go-lucky. I don't know if that's true, but I take it as a compliment. Maybe happy-go-lucky. Maybe that's one of them, but it's a lot of words. It's not, it's not a single word. I think optimistic, compassionate, imaginative, and shit, I forgot the beginning of that. What were my things? Optimistic, compassionate, imaginative, and I feel like sleepy. Sleepy should be the 4th one. Yeah, let's make sleepy the last one. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I'm pretty happy with those. Yeah, I hope that answers your question. Thank you, A. Thank you for asking. The next question I have is from Jade. They ask, favorite BoJack Horseman character? Mr. Peanut Butter, maybe? I really like... I mean, but the end. So, like, maybe Mr. Peanut Butter for the first couple seasons. I just love his character. It's so, like, it's so good. I also like Paul F. Tompkins. He's a funny guy. Maybe Mr. Peanut Butter. I do like Todd a lot. I mean, BoJack is the obvious answer for me. I like BoJack a lot. I think he is the lens for which you see the whole show, so it's hard not to really like BoJack Horseman. Yeah. I mean, Princess Carolyn is also great. She has a lot of great lines. Her arc is pretty good. Oh, wait, I take it all back. Vincent Adultman. I forgot about... Vincent Adultman is my favorite character. Vincent Adultman is amazing. He is the personification of our inability to grow up, or our desire to grow up too quickly, but our inability to, like, function in an adult society. I don't know. I love Vincent Adultman. He is so good. I think some of his gags are fucking hilarious. I think the joke is so good. I love him. I know you'd probably want me to pick, like, Todd or BoJack, but I forgot about Vincent Adultman. He is so good. He's such a good character. I wish there was more of him. Every scene he's in, he steals. That scene where BoJack is just, like, opening his... If you haven't seen BoJack Horseman, I guess these aren't really major spoilers. But there's a scene where, after a wedding, where BoJack is, like, confessing all these, like, emotional things to Vincent Adultman. This man who he's been the whole season basically trying to convince Princess Carolyn isn't real, is just four kids in a trench coat. And he, like, confesses all these things. And then he realizes the appeal of Vincent Adultman is that he's a good listener. And then in a world where people are so self-interested... weirdly, four children in a trench coat are the only refute he has to just expound all this sadness he has on this day. I don't know. It's great. I love Vincent Adultman. Yes. Long short, Vincent Adultman. Greatest character in BoJack Horseman. Hands down. So thank you for your question. Thank you. Thank you, Jade. Let's see. Madison asks, so these are some rapid-fire questions on my preference on women. All right, let's go. Natural nails or fake nails? They're like both. I don't know. I like fake nails. I think they're cute. I think they're fun. I don't really have a preference. I think both are amazing. I guess both. I think for a lot of these, the answer is going to be both for some of them, because I don't really have a direct preference one way or another. Like, I guess if I had to, like... Like, which one hedges more? Probably natural nails, if I had to pick. Yeah, probably natural. Long hair or short? Probably long hair. Not clingy or extremely clingy? I don't know. I guess... I don't mind extremely clingy. I mean, but I think I don't like the way the question's phrased. I don't like the... I wish it was phrased in a different way. Because I think clingy has such a negative connotation that, like, the reaction is to naturally say not clingy. But I don't know if you mean it in the vernacular in which clingy usually is understood. Because maybe it's like, do you want... Like, what's your attachment style? Are you very attached? Or, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm viewing it in that sense, but probably extremely clingy then. Businesswoman style or stay-at-home mom? I think stay-at-home mom. Yeah, between the two. Tomboy or girly girl? Probably girly girl. But yeah. Yeah, that was a hard one. But thank you for your question, Madison. I appreciate it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, hey Kay, you mentioned your love for New Zealand in previous Get to Know Nights. Have you visited? As a New Zealander myself, I've always wondered I've always wondered what attracted people here, as it's so far out of the way. So, I haven't been to New Zealand yet. I really want to go. Auckland and Wellington and all that stuff. What attracted me? Well, I think initially, probably Lord of the Rings, funnily enough. I think that's a lot of people's answer. Because I really didn't know how beautiful New Zealand was until I saw it through the lens of, like, Peter Jackson. I was like, holy shit, this country is beautiful. And then also a lot of the stuff that, like, the cast and crew were talking about. They just talked about how much fun they had in New Zealand and generally, like, how much bungee jumping and skydiving and just, like, heli skiing and just, like, crazy stuff. I was like, oh my God, that sounds so much fun. I'd love to go. So I think it's a combination of those two things. I also kind of like... I don't know. I kind of like New Zealand is a perfect place kind of for me, because I love islands. I love living on an island, and it's an island, and it's, like, remote but not remote. It has a lot of the comforts that I would know, but also far enough away from, like, everything else that I'm like, oh, that sounds great. So there's a lot of stuff about New Zealand that really speaks to me. So yeah, I don't know. I really like it. I think it's a beautiful, like in my mind, I think it's a beautiful place. I want to go and experience it so I can confirm that in my head. But I've heard wonderful things about it. So I really want to go at some point. Thank you for your question. Let's see. Tiana asks, do you prefer hanging out in public with your partner or staying in and cuddling? Probably staying in and cuddling. If like given the choice. Yeah. I love just staying in and doing nothing, though, because when you do a lot of things, it's nice to not do anything sometimes. So that's usually my answer. thank you for your question, Tiana. Let's see. Knight, I need some dating advice. Oh, this is from Anonymous, by the way. First of all, have you ever dated a 19-year-old girl at your age now? No, I have not. I am a 19-year-old girl, and someone online has just asked me on a date. He's around 28, almost 29. I don't know how to respond to that. I like him, but my friend says the age gap is too far. Any thoughts? What are my initial thoughts? I guess my first thought would be, well, how well do you know this person? I think that's my first question is, how well do you know him? Like, honestly, how well do you know him? Like, have you talked to him for a week? Have you known him for years? Like, there's a difference between those two answers, I guess. What have you talked about? What are your conversations? Are they strictly sexual? Are they... Also, what are your intentions, too, I guess? Like, are you looking to date someone? Are you looking to have some fun? If you're looking to have some fun and you're not really too worried about this being a long-term thing, I would say then go for it. I don't, like, if, as long as you're not putting your whole heart into it, I think there's less risk involved. But the more of your heart you're putting into this, I would start talking to you about caution, maybe. About maybe, really the questions of how well you know him. Do you, like, is he talking about a long-term future? Do you want a long-term future? What does it mean when you're in two different places in your life? You know, someone who is entering their 30s is in a completely different life space than someone who's entering their 20s. How will those two things coalesce? The things you might want to do, he might want to do right now, but he might be entering into a phase of life where he might not want to do those things as much anymore, you know? And these are all, like, valid questions that no one really thinks to ask, I guess, when looking at age gaps. Because I'm not saying age gap relationships don't work. They do. They can. And they can be super functional. And they can be super great. But whenever there's a younger woman involved, I always say, hey, just look out for yourself. Because I'm talking from like a, I don't know you, but I do want the best for you. I don't want anyone to take advantage of you or do anything that will hurt you in the future. So my best advice to you really is just know what you want. Try to understand what he wants. And if those two things align and you feel safe, then go for it. Go on the date. I don't think there's any harm in the date in and of itself. But I just want you to be careful and just know, just have some questions in mind really about where you are, where he is, and what your goals for this is. Because this could just be for fun. And if it's just for fun and there's no long-term future, then I don't think there's a lot of risk involved here. But if there is like this long-term future that you want with this man, then I think there's a lot more risk because there's a lot of big questions that has to be asked. And unless people are willing to ask those questions or explore them, you might run into problems. So I hope that helps. Without any more information, I can't give a much more concise assessment, but just from what you've given me, I hope that helps. And I hope you make the choice that's the best for you. Thank you for your question. I really appreciate it. Anonymous asks, do you have any funny drunk stories? Yeah, I mean, I do. How many do I want to share? I guess the one I'm most comfortable sharing right now off the top of my head is I got, like, blackout drunk on my friend's balcony once. It was immediately after a breakup, and I was not handling it well. And so I was very drunk atop a balcony. My friend had been very kind to me, and he allowed me to stay basically at his house as I was, like, emotionally recovering. And I was, I got kind of belligerently drunk there, and he pushed me onto the balcony and kept me out there for a little while. But while I was out there, I proceeded to have loud conversations with his neighbors who were, like, walking in this, like, courtyard below. And it wasn't, like, bad conversations. We had very friendly, at least from what I remember. Maybe my drunken memory is wrong. Maybe these conversations were abysmal and I was making a fool of myself. But I feel like I engaged myself very well with these people. I had a lot of conversations, and then he eventually brought me back in. I, like, passed on his couch a couple hours later. But I think one of the people I talked to down there had come up to the apartment and, like, come to check on me or something. I don't know. But, yeah. Funny? I don't know. But a drunk, embarrassing story? Yes. Yes, it was. thank you for your question. All right. The next question is from Anonymous. They say, I don't know if you know this, but there's a subreddit called r/nightlights. They've been stealing audios. I just thought you'd like to know. Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I know about r/nightlights. It's a bummer. Like, audio theft is always going to be a thing that happens in this community. It's always going to be a problem. Yeah, I wish there was better tools I could use to curtail it and deal with it. There really aren't. But it just sucks. I appreciate whenever anyone in the community who sees it lets me know, or generally just says something. Like, I saw a bunch of comments on the subreddit of people kind of defending me and talking about how they felt like what people were doing, they were wrong. And I appreciate all those people who did that, because that's super kind. It sucks. This is a lot of how I make my livelihood. So when people basically steal audios and content, it makes it harder to do the thing that I like to do. So I know they don't really understand how, like, why it's wrong to steal, or they don't really understand the context of how the stealing hurts the people who make it, which is a bummer, because that kind of theft does hurt the people who they are saying that they support. So I really appreciate everyone on Patreon who, you know, who's supporting me, who makes it possible for me to do my job. Because truly, without you guys, I couldn't do this full time. It would not be possible. So I really appreciate all the people that make it possible, and which is all you guys. Everyone listening to this right now, because of you, this is possible. So I'm really grateful. I think it makes me grateful for the people who support me. So yeah, I'm aware of the situation, and I'm taking actions to rectify it. Outside, like, on through Reddit and stuff, but I appreciate everyone who's let me know, and everyone who's been so helpful about, you know, letting people know that what they're doing isn't great, and it sucks. It really does suck. So anyway, thank you for your question. The last question is from Anonymous. They say, do you have any comments or feelings about the current situation in Ukraine? So I want to probably discuss more about this in, like, a separate standalone audio, because there's just so much to talk about, and it's gonna need a trigger warning because it's gonna get into a bunch of stuff. But I guess my short answer right now at this very moment is that I'm heartbroken for the people of Ukraine. I'm furious at the Kremlin, at Russian high command, at Vladimir Putin. I'm upset with NATO's lack of response, the Americans' lack of response. I think the world is letting the Ukraine down. I think we're sending a clear sign to foreign actors who believe that they can take things with impunity, and we are kind of in a precarious position in the world balance where the scales could tip very easily and spiral us out of this peace we've had for so long. We've had peace since the fall of the Berlin Wall. There's been peace in Europe, and that peace has now been broken. And I guess there's always a fear of escalation, and that would be the most devastating thing. I don't want to see the world pulled into a war. But I don't know. My heart's broken. Just the senseless loss of human life for nothing, for truly nothing. There is no greater goal here. This is just a acquisition of land It's a strategic acquisition of land, and it is disgusting. Nobody wins when we fight wars. Everyone loses. Even the victors lose a bit of themselves. So, I just hope and pray that everyone in Ukraine, I hope that Ukrainian sovereignty exists 10 years from now. That's my greatest wish. And I don't know if that's gonna be true. Which just, it breaks my heart. This feels like Tibet. And Tibet was wrong. This is wrong. It just feels wrong. And I'm just angry. I'm angry and I'm sad. I'm very sad about this whole state of affairs. So, that's my short answer. I don't know when my long answer is going to be out, but maybe it'll be today. We'll see. But either way, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this Get to Know Night. I know we ended on a downer, but I hope you have a great rest of your Monday. I'll talk to you later. Bye now.